You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The nomination of Congresswoman Deb Haaland as our nation's first Indigenous cabinet secretary is, frankly, more than symbolic. For many, it signals a potential shift in the relationship between tribes and the federal government. The Mountain West News Bureau's Savannah Marr reports.
In 2018, Deb Haaland became one of the first Indigenous women ever elected to U.S. Congress. Soon after, she paid a visit to her constituents at the Pueblo of Sandia, just outside of Albuquerque. Stephanie Poston was there.
She came to the Pueblo for one of our feast days, and the young girls, a couple of them were following her around, and she stopped to talk to them. It was just amazing thing to see and witness.
Poston says Deb Haaland may as well have been a celebrity to those girls, but she didn't act like one.
She's just that person who will stop and see you.
And Poston says that's how Indigenous people have been feeling since Haaland was nominated to lead the Department of the Interior. Seen.
Indian country has shouted from the valleys, from the mountaintops, that it's time. It's overdue.
Haaland comes from the pueblos of Laguna and Jimenez. If she's confirmed by the Senate, she'll be running the department that works most closely with tribal governments. John Echohawk is a citizen of the Pawnee Nation of Oklahoma. He heads up the Native American Rights Fund.
Right, it's a historic event.
His nonprofit offers legal services to tribes around the nation. He says federal officials typically lack an understanding of tribal sovereignty and treaty rights.
Well, that lack of knowledge of Indian law and policy and history is really the biggest problem that our people face.
But Haaland's understanding of tribal issues is rooted in both lived experience and a specialized degree in Indian law.
Makes all the difference in the world. She thoroughly understands these issues, thoroughly, and she knows what it means to tribes and tribal members to have good decisions made regarding their rights.
Echohawk says many tribes are currently locked in battles over the status of their land or over the protection of their sacred sites. Haaland has been vocal about these issues as vice chair of the House Natural Resources Committee. Here she is back in February of this year.
But a sacred site that's been blasted, it can never be made whole again. I want you to understand that.
She asked a representative from President Trump's Interior Department how he can sleep at night after his department authorized the blasting of a site sacred to the Tohono O'odham Nation in southern Arizona. It was part of a project to make way for the border wall.
The damage that this administration is doing to this area, it's irreparable. And you didn't even ask. Nobody asked permission of these people to do any of that.
Tribal leaders are ready to hold Haaland to her word about tribal consultation, including Jordan Dresser. He's chairman of the Northern Arapaho tribe.
I'm just really excited for her.
Dresser heard the news just after his nation received its first shipment of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine.
It just feels like another glimmer of hope for us.
But Dresser says her nomination prompts mixed emotions. That's because his tribe relies heavily on oil and gas revenue. Haaland is a supporter of the Green New Deal and is opposed to many of the fossil fuel industry's interests.
A lot of tribes that do rely on oil and gas, you know, it could be almost seen as a gamble. But in a way, it's like this is another tool for us.
In other words, an opportunity for his tribe and others to transition into alternative energy. Dresser already had big plans to diversify the Northern Arapaho economy, and he hopes Haaland's Interior Department will provide support. For right now, he's basking in this historic moment.
If a kid sees somebody who looks like them and sounds like them in certain positions, then they know it's a possibility. So to me, her being in that is a huge win, and it's going to inspire a whole generation of Indigenous youth.
Stephanie Poston draws inspiration from Haaland's personal story. She's a single mom. She's experienced homelessness. She began her formal political career in her 50s and was still paying off student loans during her first term in Congress.
Like you tell your kids, like, you can be an astronaut, you can be anything you want to be, and in your heart, you totally believe that.
But Poston says the challenges for her people are enormous. Haaland, she says, has proved it can happen.
She's like our congresswoman. She's our astronaut. She's like that you can really overcome some of the most challenging circumstances.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Savannah Marr.
And Savannah is on the line joining us now from New Mexico to tell us more about this. Welcome to the show, Savannah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So it's been a few weeks since Holland was nominated, and she has already spent some time meeting with tribal leaders. So is this a big shift from what we've seen in the outgoing administration?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very significant because federal Indian policy is notoriously inconsistent and can swing really wildly from one administration to another. Sometimes it's really hard to know what to expect. And a lot of tribal leaders have expressed that they feel the Trump administration has been sort of hostile to tribal interests. But here we have our incoming likely Interior Secretary actually taking time to hold a roundtable with tribal leaders even before she's been confirmed by the Senate. So I think that really speaks volumes for tribal leaders, and a lot of them are hoping that this signals sort of a new era for the way that the federal government relates to tribes.
Has she offered any other clues about how she might approach this job? I mean, if she's she's confirmed?
Yeah, as we heard in her testimony on the House floor in the story, she spoke about the importance of tribal consultation. Obviously, she's already made it clear that that's very important to her. And she's also spoken about sort of restoring the nation-to-nation relationship between the federal government and tribal governments, and spoken about how she feels it's been damaged by the Trump administration. And there's a lot of work to be done to fix that. A couple of specific things I'll be watching for. There was a bill that she drafted in the House that would create a healing commission on Indian boarding school policy in the United States, sort of similar to what's been done with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in Canada. And that would be, I think, really significant for Indian country. I'll be watching to see if that's something that she continues to prioritize as Secretary of the Interior, and also how she'll approach the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous people. That's something that the Trump administration has also tackled. They created a task force on that issue that's been funded, I believe, through the end of this year. And I'll be interested to see how she carries that on.
I think it's fair to say, Savannah, that Indian country is expecting a lot from Holland. Do you think she'll be able to live up to those expectations?
Yeah, she definitely has a tough road ahead of her. And, Indian country is not a monolith. All tribes don't have the exact same interests. And, as we heard from Chairman Jordan Dresser of the Northern Arapaho Tribe, a tribe that relies very heavily on fossil fuel extraction, and they're certainly not alone in that. So I think that's one example of where, it might not be possible to please all of Indian country with her policies. And I'm sure that there will be times when Indian country is, not as happy with the way she, with some of her choices in office. But I will say that Joe Biden, our president-elect, does seem on board with a lot of her priorities. He put out a really ambitious policy plan for tribal nations. So it seems like she'll have support in that way. She'll also need support from Congress on things like remedying budget shortfalls within Indian programs, something that she's spoken about, getting the Indian Health Service fully funded, Indian housing programs, things like that. She will need support from lawmakers in Congress, and we'll see if she's able to get it.
And besides being our first Indigenous cabinet secretary, there are other parts of Holland's biography that are fairly unique. So for people who may not know this, who else might be celebrating this appointment?
Yeah, I find her story really compelling and just very different from what we're used to hearing about people who make it to these very high levels of our government. Deb Holland, she raised her child as a single mom. She's spoken very publicly about dealing with housing insecurity and food insecurity throughout her life. She was a college graduate in her 30s. She graduated from law school in her 40s, and she didn't formally enter politics until she was in her 50s, which I think is also really unique. So really anyone who shares any of those sorts of experiences or, is finally seeing some of their experiences reflected in this very high up government official, I think has something to celebrate here.
Okay, so before I let you go, I do want to turn to you for a minute, Savannah, because You are new to the Mountain West News Bureau and to New Mexico. This is the first time you're on Idaho Matters, but it certainly won't be the last. So I'm curious about how it's going so far, but also what kinds of stories are you hoping to tell in this new role?
Sure. Yeah, it's going pretty well so far. I'm getting settled in Albuquerque, which is a really exciting place to be an Indigenous Affairs reporter. And that's what I'll be focused on is telling stories about tribes across our region. And obviously, a lot of those stories are going to be about the coronavirus. We're working on a series at the Bureau right now about police fatalities in our region, and I'll have a story soon about Native folks who've been killed by the police in mostly in reservation border towns. But yeah, I'm also really interested in stories about housing. That's one of the things that I'd like to dive into, housing on reservations and how housing shortages have complicated efforts to get the pandemic under control on reservations. So it'll be a little bit of everything.
Well, we are rooting for you. Good luck to you. And thanks for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We've been talking with the Mountain West News Bureau reporter, Savannah Marr. You can expect to hear more of Savannah's reporting right here on Boise State Public Radio, as well as our program. I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters next.